Beauty and the so-called character truths it revealed were an important part of Victorian culture. This was deepened, in part, by the demographic ratios in the Victorian population. In Victorian England, due to wars and pandemics, the male-to-female ratio was 1 man to every 10 women. This meant for every single woman who got married, 9 others were left single. This might seem like a small matter in the 21st century, but in Victorian England, this was a major cause for concern. See, in England at this time, a woman had to marry. Not because women were forbidden from remaining single, but because society was structured so that women needed to marry in order to access the ability to care and provide for themselves. Life was divided into two overlapping spheres, the public sphere, the realm of the male, and the private sphere, the realm of the female. Only in the creation of a family home did the two spheres overlap. Therefore, a woman without access to an overlapping public sphere would suffer destitution, ill repute, and dead ends in most efforts to access the goods and services of the public sphere. Thus, Victorian women needed to marry. Their only other option was to remain in their parents' home under the care of their fathers. However, the industrialization of Britain during this period had changed the economic culture, and many families in the lower and middle classes were unable to care for adult children. Women who were unable to find a husband were often forced to care for themselves. Some were able to find work in the factories of the Industrial Revolution and scrape together a mean existence. However, as hundreds of thousands flocked to the cities in search of work, the factories had more prospective employees than work to give them, and thousands of women found it necessary to make a living via the world's oldest profession, prostitution. Yet, a prostitute in Victorian society was as invisible and as worthless as a French laundress, and thus the cycle of poverty persisted. The rate of unwed mothers in a society that shut out the shamed woman created a voracious art market for stories of the femme fatale and the fallen woman. The femme fatale was, as she always is, beautiful and dangerous. A woman of ambition who lies about her unseemly past and racks up societal taboos like Rachel Green racks up her credit cards and friends. The fallen woman was the story of the failed femme fatale, the woman whose mistakes find her out and she is left with nothing but shame. The melodramatic moral work by Richard Redgrave, The Outcast, depicts a stern patriarch of inflexible puritanical morality casting out a fallen woman and her illegitimate baby, probably his daughter and grandchild, from his respectable home. Despite the snow visible on the ground outside, the father stands by an open door, gesturing angrily for her to depart. Another young woman, probably another daughter, kneels, begging him to relent, while another weeps behind. The mother of the family comforts a weeping son, while a fourth daughter looks on in confusion. An incriminating letter lies on the floor, and a biblical painting, probably Abraham casting out Hagar and Ishmael, but possibly Christ and the woman taken in adultery, hangs on the wall. The device of the incriminating letter was used to better effect in a similar context by Augustus Egge in his 1858 triptych Past and Present. This painting is ambiguous. It could be meant as a warning to other women to avoid a similar fate, or could be intended to evoke sympathy for the plight of the young mother abandoned by her family. But not just unwed mothers could be included in the fallen woman narrative. In Augustus Egge's triptych, Past and Present, he portrays the story of a mother who is found out in an affair and falls from her comfortable married position into utter destitution. The first piece, meant to be hung in between the other two pieces in the series, represents the past, while the pieces on either side were two perspectives of the same moment in the present. Around this time, the courts had just changed the divorce process, which made it more accessible to the middle classes. This may have been a discussion regarding the problems with easier divorces. It may have been a commentary on immorality, or it may have been a judgment on promiscuous women who became wives. The paintings were not individually titled when they were exhibited in the Royal Academy Show of 1858 as they are now, Misfortune, Prayer, and Despair, but they were accompanied with this fictional excerpt from a journal. August the 4th. Have just heard that B has been dead more than a fortnight, so his poor children have now lost both parents. I hear she was seen on Friday last near the Strand, evidently without a place to lay her head. What a fall hers has been! In Past and Present number 1, Misfortune, the mother lays in a pleading swoon on the floor, having realized her husband had an incriminating letter clasped in his hand. He sits thunderstruck, his face glazed and despondent, showing that their difference has become irreconcilable. The portrait of the other man is under his foot. The apple has been cut, one piece staying on the table, the other by her foot. The children jump at the commotion between their parents as their house of cards falls down. In the mirror, the door is open, and a bag and umbrella sit by the door. According to John Ruskin, in the story being presented in Egge's paintings, 5 years have passed between the fateful day that the mother left home. The children are older now, and the older one's black mourning clothes and the younger one's crying shows that the father has died and they are alone in the world. Looking out the window as they pray for their wayward and estranged mother, they look at the waxing moon. In the third painting of the triptych, the mother stares at the same moon with the same cloud that her daughters are looking at that same moment. The naked legs of a baby stick out from her rags, causing the viewer to speculate if the baby is already dead or if it will survive. She sleeps under the bridge by the Strand. The posters on the walls are advertisements for two plays that feature destroyed marriages and an ad for a pleasure cruise to France.